So it's quite a momentous occasion. I feel a bit of a weight on my shoulders to offer a teaching that in some way is commensurate in significance to this hurricane that bears my name. And that's quite a challenge. For those of you who are not in Houston, Dawn Mountain came through relatively well. We had a little bit of water in the front of the building and some water in from the roof. But all things considered, that was very, very minor compared to what some people have experienced. And Ann and I have done fine, and we appreciate everybody who has been in touch with us and has offered their support and well wishes. It has meant a lot to us, and very, very touching, and very, very appreciated. You are all have been very kind in writing us and letting us know how much you're concerned. And so the question comes up, you know, what do we contemplate? What do we consider in a spiritual context on the occasion of such a large catastrophe? And I think it's an important and very worthwhile consideration. And the first thing that I think I want to offer is that we start with ourselves and really acknowledge what is going on for ourselves. You know, I often talk about acronyms for meditation or mindfulness and awareness. I use nowadays I'm using WISER, FACT. And in fact, there's an A and there is a T. And the T is where I would like to start, and that has to do with tenderness. And I think that, you know, we all are deserving and need an enormous amount of tenderness when we come in contact with a shocking disruption to our lives. It's so upsetting and so frightening and so threatening that we are going to have an enormous number of emotional reactions. Now, unfortunately, many of us, and it's almost a culture-wide phenomena, we have learned to really almost make believe that things that are happening, that they're kind of either not happening, or to make believe that the reactions we're having we're not having. And that can get us into an awful lot of trouble, both personally and interpersonally. And within the practice of Dharma and Buddhist practice and mindfulness practice, we are seeking to ultimately be ever more spacious, ever more free, ever more open. And many people have a kind of maybe mistaken impression that the way to do that is to become very, very numb or absent of emotional reaction, emotional capacity. And that's a kind of misconception. And really, it is through our ability to know ourselves, to feel what we're feeling, and to tenderly accept our experience, that ultimately there can be a ever larger and larger sense of freedom within our experiencing life. And so the two letters out of fact that I would start with in contemplating how are we to be when we are faced with enormous tragedies and catastrophes on a physical and emotional level. First of all, tenderness with ourselves, and two, acceptance for, to begin with, what is. You know, what is the situation we are facing? What's the material situation? What's the social situation? What's the emotional situation? You know, can I travel or can I not travel? Do I have supplies or do I need help? Do I need to be in a shelter or do I need to be at my home? What is reality, and can we tenderly accept what that is? And really be kind with ourselves. You know, more and more as I teach and live my life, and I'm aware of how people proceed through life, I just see more and more how once we get to know people and are open, people immediately, when there is some difficulty, actually blame themselves for the difficulty. And it's not a kind situation. People are very, very cruel to themselves. And in a way, it's worst with kind people. People who can be very, very kind, when you really, really slow down and you start talking with them, it turns out that they're not kind towards themselves. They may feel all sorts of negative criticism towards themselves, even as they're trying to help others and wonderful for others. So in a time like this, when any of us may have experienced any kinds of losses and disruptions and difficulties, the first thing I think we need to do to really be serious Dharma practitioners, to be serious mindfulness practitioners, is to look at ourselves and to check in with how are we feeling towards ourselves. Is there some kind of self-recrimination going on? Is there some kind of perfectionism going on? Is there some kind of self-blame of, you know, I should have repaired the roof when I had a chance, or I should have caulked the windows when I had a chance. I should have moved my car instead of leaving it where I did. I should have renewed my flood insurance, but I unfortunately didn't. Or I should have gotten flood insurance, but I unfortunately didn't. And can we recognize that whatever we did or didn't do, acts of omission or acts of commission, we are human and we all make mistakes. And can we have some kindness and compassion? Kindness and compassion for ourselves. Most of all, starting with ourselves. Really, really, we are all so typically cruel and self-hateful. And so can we be kind? And if we have some pain or contraction in ourselves, can we even just, you know, silently see if we can take some time with ourselves and you know, kind ourselves. You know, if you're parents, you know how you kind your child. You kind them. You offer them. You soothe them. You concern for them. And so can we offer that to ourselves? You know, we live in Houston and it's a very doistic city. I'm a very doistic person. And it's a challenge, I know, for me to slow down and just offer myself some care. You know, we're all so busy either following through on our responsibilities or taking care of others that we start getting contractions here and there and we twist our ankles and we don't eat and we get tired, we get exhausted, and we don't pay attention to ourselves. And it's so, so important to start with the Sangha of ourselves and to offer and consider and care and take time to care for ourselves. So the first thing in this very, very difficult situation is can we be accepting of ourselves? Wiser Fact, the acronym for practice, the A is acceptance and the T is for tenderness. Can we offer that to ourselves? And that's really the most sound basis for care for others. Many, many of us know how to care for others. And when we slow things down and we talk and have a very sort of somber and sober conversation, it comes out that it's very, very hard to receive care and to care for ourselves, most of all. And can we open to care from others? It's a great challenge for many of us. You know, we grew up in a culture where autonomy and individuality are kind of like king. We worship autonomy, we worship individualism. And that's kind of the next topic that I want to move into, and that is our connectedness. You know, there are two phrases or words in Buddhism that are very, very significant. One is the word Sangha, which means community. And the other phrase is dependent origination. And dependent origination refers to the idea that things just don't spontaneously arise without causes and conditions, and they are supported by causes and conditions, and then when the causes and conditions change, they disintegrate. That ultimately everything that is produced is impermanent and also ultimately insubstantial. But things do arise out of causes and conditions, supported by causes and conditions. And then in their time, due to impermanence, things dissolve and disintegrate. And so we as individuals are dependently originated. And we are in a vast network of dependent origination. I was contemplating this morning, you know, there are just so many ways to think about that. But, you know, we can easily imagine that some rice farmer in Bangladesh is raising some rice that feeds some individuals who down the road are working in a shirt factory. And those shirts get exported to some place in Japan where somebody is working in a factory wearing the shirt produced in Bangladesh. And that factory worker at a Toyota plant creates an automobile part for a truck. And that truck is the truck that is driven by an individual who brings bread to your local supermarket. And you then consume that bread. And like it or not, you're related to that individual in Bangladesh who's growing rice and the little bugs and worms that support the rice field and all the individuals who are breathing, bringing forth carbon dioxide so that the rice, through photosynthesis, can create oxygen and itself can grow. And so every living, breathing being is supporting that rice growing. And that individual growing rice in Bangladesh is supporting us through the shirt, to the factory worker, to the automobile part, to the truck driver, to the supermarket, and all the individuals in that supermarket who are cooking our and delivering our bread to us. We're all interdependent. And so when a catastrophe hits, we feel a tremendous relatedness to all beings. And another way in Buddhism that we think of this is that due to rebirth, and in rebirth being infinite, all beings have been related to us through a diverse number of lives in the past, in situations we can't remember and we can't in some ways even understand. But, you know, whoever you are and you're watching this, 100,000 lifetimes ago, you were my giraffe mother, or you were my orangutan mother, or you were my sparrow mother, or you were my mother mother. We are related. And due to that relationship, we have a bond of affection and connection, and even a sense of wishing to pay back kindness. And so when there's a disaster, one way of marrying all of these ideas together, the acceptance and tenderness for ourselves and the sense of dependent origination and connection and sangha, the sense of community. We are in a vast community, whether it be the community of our family, the spiritual community, the community of our city, our state, our country, our planet, our universe. This is all a sangha, ultimately. And we feel that. And so whatever feelings, and especially when we have painful feelings, we have a practice in Buddhism called taking and sending, or receiving and sending. Donglen, it's quite famous now. And it's based on whatever feelings we may have that we have accepted with tenderness. Oh my God, you know, my house is ruined. And we're feeling sad and we're feeling overwhelmed. We are acknowledging that pain. And we're using that as a touchstone into making an aspiration. With my pain, may I relieve the pain of all sentient beings throughout space. May all of their pain be absorbed into my pain. And we use our pain, our felt pain, as a touchstone. We make that aspiration, and we do that on an inhale. And then on an exhale, we imagine love and concern and care and light going out to all beings. And our discomfort we use as a touchstone. May we absorb all the suffering of all those around us into our pain. And may we send love and compassion to all. For some, making that vast aspiration to absorb the suffering of all into their own is too difficult. And so if you need to modify it, you can do it in the following way. Whatever my suffering is, let it just be as it is, and may it in its very nature just be the measure, and may it, without changing in any size, shape, or form, take in all of the suffering of all sentient beings throughout space. May mine contain, as it is, the suffering of all. For some, that's a little bit easier. But if you can make the other aspiration, it's really wonderful. May my suffering as it is, may I absorb the suffering of all into my own pain. You know, people then may wonder, and then what? And then what is a great question. It is, of course, very, very useful and very, very important to actually be of help and consideration to others. We start with our families, obviously. We are trying to be supportive of members of our community. So we in Don Mountain want to hear from people in terms of what their needs are and then what we can do for others in the community. We're volunteering. And then there's our larger community and the community, many communities in Texas and other states are being affected by this horrendous weather situation. You know, if you have time and capacity, you can volunteer. It is wonderful. If you have funds available to offer to appropriate charities of your choice, it is wonderful. You may not have time. You may not have capacity. You may not have money. You offer wishes. May all of these individuals who are in pain and suffering become free of that suffering. And if you're doing Donglen, taking and sending, you taking on the suffering in your imagination, and as you're sending out, may beings be happy. May beings be happy. We make that aspiration. So if you can do things by way of actual physical effort, we do it. If we can offer goods and funds, we've got that capacity, we do that. Maybe we can't. We have our minds. We aspire that others may be free of suffering, and we offer our wish for their happiness and their well-being. It's so important, and this is an opportunity. And we want to make use of this opportunity. The F in FACT stands for freshness. We may have opportunities when everything is a bit up in the air to do things a little bit differently. Maybe we change out of some of our stale habits. Maybe people are in touch with us who haven't been in touch with us for 20 years. We may reestablish a connection. Maybe we realize we can be of help in ways that we never imagined we could be of help. Maybe we give up some of our attachment to some of our self-images as inadequate, incapable, and isolated. And we move out and are effective and helpful. Freshness is a very, very critical piece of our practice. And during these times of change, there are opportunities to do things differently. And it's important to notice what it's like when things are new, fresh, and different. Even when they're in a way saturated with pain, there's also a kind of new mind that can occur. And that new mind is a very, very important, because there are qualities in that new mind which often include clarity and compassion and care. And these are reflections of our inner true nature, our Buddha nature. so important to become aware of that. So we're arriving at the end. I'll just summarize very quickly that in these times of difficulty, we really wish to be tender with ourselves. We want to accept what is to begin with and be tender with that acceptance. And we wish to remember our connection to all others and our sense of connection leads us to be able to take on a practice of taking and sending Donglen with an aspiration when we actually feel our own unhappiness, our sorrow, our loss. We touch into that. We accept it. We acknowledge it emotionally and physically, and then make the aspiration to take on the suffering of all beings on an inhale, and then on the exhale. May all beings be happy. May all beings be happy.
If you enjoyed this teaching, please visit our website, donmountain.org, to subscribe to this course and find other great Dharma offerings. May all beings always have happiness and its causes. May all beings always be free of pain and its causes.